Very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Kuf Chaf Vav Amid Beis, 126b, pagination page 252, midway on the page, the new Mishnah at the start of the new Perek. The Mishnah states, Mefanim, you're allowed to clear away, Afilu Arba V'Chomesh Kupos, Shel Tevin V'Shel Tevua, even four or five boxes, containers of grain, you're allowed to move them away on Shabbos, mepnei ha'orchim, because you have guests, or mepnei bitul beis hamedrash, or because you need the place for Torah study. In other words, for a mitzvah, for a significant mitzvah, like guests, people need a place to eat, you would be allowed to move these boxes and clear them out. The storage area, whatever it is, you're allowed to do this. Question is, what's the issue?
Quite a lot of work.
Very good. You're phenomenal. One of the issues here is that it's a lot of work. And that is one of the restrictions here. It's called tircha or uvda dechol, exertion that's unnecessary for Shabbos, and therefore you need to give me a case that has mitigating circumstances. And the Ramah is actually fascinating over here when he talks about orchim, guests. He points out, sure, guests, people who need a place to eat. He says, but if you invite your friend over, the buddy system, what we would call gomlin, that you invite him one day and he invites you the other day, that's not the mitzvah that's so powerful that we're describing here. We're describing here orchim, that a person needs a place to eat the suda, something like that. And that orchim is so powerful that it allows you to do this. Or Torah study. So that's knocking off the issue of tircha, of exertion. Even so, we're being told that there are some sort of limitations, but you're allowed to do it. The other issue over here is whether it's muktza or not. And that's going to be the remainder of the Mishnah, a discussion whether things are muktzah or not, whether you're allowed to move them for this purpose. Question, go ahead.
Well, what kind of lesson does it teach? You know, you shouldn't be preparing the space ahead of time. And if you don't, you know, you always have an excuse, well, I have a great mitzvah to do, so, you know, hey,
That's a good point. Sometimes we make legislation because the person should have done it earlier. And we ask, could you have done it earlier? We ask sometimes on Yom Tov regarding preparations that you want to do on Yom Tov. Could it have been done before Yom Tov, or would it have lost its taste, its flavor? It's better to be done on Yom Tov. And we ask that question. Over here we have to know, are we going to ask that question or not? But either way, it's very easy to understand the Mishnah. There are going to be cases where you're allowed to move the stuff, and we're okay with it. But what I find fascinating is that you always can learn such a thing superficially. Okay, so there are cases. Or you can learn it very bidikduk, very carefully. What qualifies as a mitigating circumstance to allow you to do this extra schlepping? By extension, a person wants to redo their studies, so they're taking down the Sfarim. Sfarim are not mukta on Shabbos. No problem. Sfarim, what could you get better? But what are you doing? And it has to be a mitigating circumstance. The Mishnah continues and tells us, Mefanim Teruma Tahora, you're allowed to move Teruma Tahora, Teruma that is edible. That's fine. You can move that on Shabbos, even though only Kohanim are going to eat it. Udmai, or something where it was partially tithed in our estimation, but we're not positive that it was totally tithed because it originates from Amei Ha'aretz, people who are not so careful about mitzvahs. And the rule of Demai was that they assumed that most people were tithing properly, but Demai, it's a contraction. What about this particular portion? Was this taken care of properly? Because we know that these people aren't 100%. So because it's a case of doubt, you were technically allowed to eat it in a case of need, in a case of duress. You would be allowed to eat it, but it wasn't normally something that they ate. They would retithe it. So dema, you would be allowed to move. It wouldn't be considered muktzah because in cases of need, you were allowed to eat it. So it's not muktzah. Umaisa rishon shenitla terumaso. Maisa rishon after the teruma that goes to the kohen was taken. Maisa rishon, the first tithe goes to the Levi, and he gives a portion of teruma to the kohen. So assuming that it was tithed properly, it's edible, even though it's only going to be eaten by Leviim. And the second tithe, which is eaten in Yerushalayim or Hekdesh, provided that they were redeemed. So now they're available to be eaten. Vehaturmis, article translates it in the footnote, lupine, hayavesh, mepneshu maichal le'izim. It was edible for goats. And here we open up the question, what happens if there are no goats in town? If you're very urban, it has no use for the people and animals that I'm familiar with. Do you get something out of muktzah even under those circumstances? And that's a discussion of its own. Avol, the Mishnah continues, the beginning of the line, Loas hatevel, v'loas ma'iserishan shalo nitra trumasa, v'loas ma'iserishan evekta shalo niftu. Any of these cases that we mentioned before, if they were not tithed properly, then you would not be allowed to move them because they're muktzah, because you can't tithe on Shabbos, and untithe, they have no use. So there would be muktzah, and you wouldn't be allowed to do the leniencies of schlepping that we just described in the beginning of the Mishnah. V'lo asaluf, v'lo asachardol, these types of vegetables, a type of onion, a mustard, things that have to be cooked, you can't cook them on Shabbos, so you can't make them edible. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel matir b'lof m'pnei shu maichal orvim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that this thing can be used for ravens. If wealthy people were raising ravens, they could use these things as food. So the question is exactly, again, if I don't have ravens, if I do have ravens, if my neighbor has ravens, does this allow it to be unmuktzed and allow me to schlep it? Because theoretically, it has a local use. Let's jump on to the next page, second line, towards the middle of the line. Avalo es ha'otzar. The Mishnah told us, I don't even remember if I accidentally skipped those words, but it's the third line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, avalo es ha'otzar, a storehouse, whatever that means, you're not allowed to clean out on Shabbos. And the Gemara explains what it means is, shalo yigmar kulo, you're not allowed to finish off the job and bring the containers down to the very bottom, to the floor, in its entirety. Because at that point, dima asi la'ashvi gumos, because the next thing that you're going to do is start sweeping and making it neat. And they had dirt floors, and that would be an element of bone of building, where you're creating the floor as a nice, smooth surface. So they purposely did not want you to finish the job so that it should still be like a haphazard thing and you shouldn't start smoothing things out. Question that we obviously have is what happens if the floors that we're familiar with are all stone, wood, carpet? They're floors that this doesn't make any sense to worry about in our locales. Not only us, but even our neighbors. Every single floor in the city is finished floors. Thank you. Good. And that, the Bi'er Halacha says, you should pay attention to the halachas. It's not just limited to this, whether you're allowed to clear out all the things, but it's related to the question of sweeping on Shabbos. We're in the time of Shulchan Aruch, they're still recording that you can't sweep a floor on Shabbos. And nowadays, we have a totally different approach because there are no floors that are dirt in our society that you would be sweeping. And likewise, the question of ball rolling. A person wants to play roly-poly. So to do that outside on the floor, we're worried that you're going to make a bowling alley. You're going to do something. But to do that with your kid on the floor where there's a carpet, that's handled differently. And again, the question, even if at one point it was forbidden, are there cases where it's so clear that the situation has changed that you can now allow that type of activity? Yeshua Koach, have a wonderful day.